Hello, and welcome to the Missionary Disciple Podcast by Catholic Christian Outreach. The aim of this podcast is to inspire, equip, and challenge you, our listener, to be an active and effective evangelist. I'm your host, Gerhard, missionary here at CCO, and today I sit down with the Renier in-laws, Mark, Alana, and Elizabeth, and we have a chat about the upcoming book, Brick by Brick, How to Raise a Missionary Disciple Family. Before we get started, if you have any questions about evangelization, please email us at podcast@cco.ca, and we'll answer them in a future episode. All right, let's dive in. All right, welcome to the Missionary Disciple Podcast. As you may know, we are into a little mini-series on the book Brick by Brick by the Renier family. And today we have the in-laws with us.
Or the outlaws, we're not sure.
Still under investigation. And today we're going to be talking about what it's like to, what the experience of coming into the Renier family. Not just the Renier family, but also a missionary family. And what were some of the impressions, the maybe misperceptions that were had about coming into the family? And then through the experience of family, how is there a growth in having an evangelical or a missionary heart? Because we're both trying to raise amazing families, but also raise amazing missionary families. So we're going to have a conversation around that today. So with me, I have the pleasure of having on, again, Angèle.
Mom.
And then as well, we have Mark Moreau.
Mark.
Present.
So we have Mark Moreau. We have Alana.
Height.
Sorry. And we have Liz Renier. Mm-hmm. So very quickly, before we really dive into the conversation, could you just introduce yourselves and then just quickly, how are you related to the family? Like, what's the entry point? And then how did you meet the family?
Yeah, so I met the family about 8 years ago now. And I actually met Andre first. He was a speaker for Net Ministries. I was doing a year of missionary work with Net, and he was speaking on the four-point gospel message. So my impression of Andre off the bat was, oh my gosh, like, he is untouchable. That means his family is untouchable.
What does untouchable mean?
And untouchable means, like, they're so holy. Like, this is the ideal Catholic family. Like, there's something about them, you know. And then the second time I met Andre was in Calgary. He was doing the exact same thing at this conference.
With Net as well.
And I was on the road with Net, and it was, just a conference. And he was the keynote speaker again. And I was like, okay, this solidifies, like, this family is amazing. Like, they're...
That you can see their halos.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So coming into the family, it was very much like... I got a job as a youth minister at the church they attended, and that's what I thought. Like, this is a family that are hardcore, you know, they're hardcore Catholics, so to speak. They know their stuff, they serve in the community, they're missionary. And the more I got to know the family, the more I felt like they're actually normal. they're normal. They're easy to be around. And I guess the facade kind of dropped a little bit, and I really found out how goofy they are. They're not just super hardcore, so to speak.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
And how did you get to know our family? What was the attraction to our family?
Probably your eldest daughter.
Who was on Net with you.
Yeah, who was on Net with me, yeah. And so I married into the family via Milene, obviously, not Angèle, because she was already taken.
sorry.
Yeah, when I came to the church, that Milene and I, there was something about Milene, something that I was really attracted to. And I guess getting to know the family a little bit more, there was something that I found very attractive with the family, not just Angèle, but... Andre was pretty attractive too, I guess. So that's how I got in.
Cool.
Via Milan.
Yeah. Awesome. And yourself, Alana?
Yeah. So I'm trying to think. I don't know if I would have met Andre or Angèle before working for CCO. I kind of might have seen them on stage at Rise Up, but maybe at the time didn't know that they would be my future bosses and parents. But yeah, I remember meeting them at NSG and just kind of seeing them. So that's our national staff gathering when I first started to work for CCO about 5 years ago. And obviously, like, the call to work for CCO is, it's a big step. It's a big deal when you first take it. So it's something like extraordinary that you're entering into. So naturally, like, the founders are on a pedestal because you know the impact that the mission has placed on your own life. So yeah, there's like a certain level of respect and awe and just like, can I get close to you? Like, if I get close, like, what if you like read my soul or something?
Maybe the holiness rubs off.
Yeah, that's the hope. Yeah, but from the beginning, it was really like a desire to like get to know the family. Just seeing like how extraordinary it was of what they were living. But it was very similar to Mark. It just felt like unattainable to have a family like that someday. Just for myself, like raised in a Catholic home, like going to mass every Sunday with like my five older siblings and my parents. But Jesus wouldn't have been a regular conversation or a person even that we would talk about in a very casual, like loving way.
So would you say the family you grew up in was more, were they more on the cultural Catholic side, or is we do the things, but there's no real depth to it? Or would you say they'd be practicing Catholic?
Yeah, it would be more culturally Catholic. Like my mom especially would have like imparted the faith on me and like brought me to retreats like as I was growing up and leading into high school. But I definitely saw something new, like entering into CCO, a lot of like vibrant Catholic families, but especially in getting to know the Reniers, like kind of, I guess my first impressions would have been like, okay, this super extraordinary family, like when I enter into their Catholic home, how am I going to feel? Like, I don't fit here. Like, but it was actually like something so extraordinary, very ordinary in their home. And, you just get to see that being missionary isn't something that they do, but it's who they are. And that was very clear, like from the moment of walking into their house. Like they have people over, they have staff over, they really open their home to the new person. And it's relatable. Like I went there and I didn't feel like an outsider, like both being from Saski originally, there's like the feeling of like being at home. And I think that that's something that most people feel when they come over. But for me, it was like, okay, hop in the pool. We're playing like basketball in the pool. We're playing upkeep outside where basically you hit the ball around and see how many times you can keep it up in the air. But it was just super, super regular. But what I noticed was like Jesus was someone that was talked about as a person, and our relationship with him was something that was talked about very casually and regularly in the living room. And that was something that was super attractive to me. In spending time with the family was just that overflow of their relationship with Jesus in everything that they do.
Awesome. So how are you related to the family?
Well, Caleb and I have been engaged for about, I don't know, almost a year now. We're getting married in July. So yeah.
It's coming up fast.
Yeah, it is. 72 days away. Not been counted.
Awesome. And yourself, Liz, how did you meet the family?
So I grew up in the Ottawa area, and I would have known about the Reniers family and like seen them at different Catholic events and would see like my parents talk to them. So I knew about them and I knew that they had founded CCO. But then as a teenager, when I was involved in youth group at Annunciation of the Lord Parish here in Ottawa. Joe was also part of the youth group, so Joe's the second oldest in the family. And yeah, we became friends and like started to like each other. So when I like was first introduced to the family, it was through that lens. And I was like very young. I think I was 16. And so, yeah, I was like, my mind frame coming in was like, these are Joe's parents and I need to like make a good impression. But yeah, my first impressions of the family would have been like very different than Mark and Alana's.
Okay. And why is that?
So to give some context.
It's Honesty Circle, right?
Yeah, Honesty Circle. So basically, I had my conversion in grade 7 and was trying really hard in my teenage years to live my life for Jesus, but didn't really know how to do that in a missionary way. So like the faith that I was living was very self-focused. Yeah, it was about me and Jesus, and I didn't, understand how to think about other people in that. And so when I first came to the Renyi family, I was shocked because in my worldview, they didn't seem like holy. Mm. So like very opposite to what Mark is describing, actually, because for example, like I would have thought, okay, to be holy means like, I don't know, to like be praying like all day. Like that was what I was trying to do, was find like how can I be praying literally all day and like avoiding things that aren't like holy in and of themselves. And I came over and their home life was like very natural, ordinary, like Alana said, like Christ-centered, but like they weren't always talking about God, you know, like mm-hmm. they had other conversations. It's but like, yeah, I was shocked. I was like, shouldn't you guys be like way
holier?
Yeah, way holier.
And there wouldn't have been like visible things in the house so much, like tons of religious icons or statues. Like there's a few carefully placed mm-hmm. on purpose in my mind, right? Mm-hmm. Because we want to be a home where someone isn't too intimidated by all the religious art. So it still looks like pretty much a normal home. Oh, and there's a crucifix and there's a little Mary over there. Mm-hmm. But you probably would have had an impression of there should be a
on every
in the
wall.
Corner
and yeah. Right? Yeah. And we should all be taking time in front of that shrine every day to, be praying. So, yeah.
So then, okay, you met the family mm-hmm. through Joe, mm-hmm. and then you came over and you want to make a good impression. You're kind of thrown off by it. It's like, well, I thought these guys were a lot holier. You're now married to Joe. So something changed along the way to fix that. So tell us that story. How did you go from being like, okay, you guys, you're different. You're not as holy as maybe I thought you should be. Mm-hmm. So tell us a story of how that changed and that transformation.
Okay. So this would be what I call my missionary conversion, actually. So in grade 12, we were at an event at church, and I was actually talking to Andre Renier, and he had a conversation with me and was talking about how so many Catholics live their lives behind closed doors and they don't go out. It's just about them and Jesus, and like we're called to be missionary. And I don't think I had ever heard that before. And as he was speaking, I became so convicted, like, oh my goodness, he's actually talking about me right now. He probably was like purposefully talking to me, but I like, all I could think was like, he doesn't even know, but like, he's describing my spiritual life right now. It's all about me. I live in this beautiful castle and I don't let anybody else in. And I couldn't not listen to what he was saying. So, I went home and I like journaled like tons of pages and just like was speaking to the Lord. And I was like, Lord, like this is me. I am not missionary, but I am called to, like, what have I been living in my Catholic life over these last many years? Like, I need to go out. I need to share the gospel. I need to know how to do this because it's obviously what I'm called to. And, as soon as that happened, my heart like completely changed, and then my worldview started to change. And so the way I started to see things and see the Renyi family changed drastically. And so my conversations became not like Joe, your family's like they should really change the way they do this. It became like, tell me why your parents do it this way, because mm-hmm. I know it's different for a reason. So that would have been what changed everything. Yeah.
So what, which I think builds off nicely, because so what in that, because you're coming in, you came from a very faithful family.
Mm-hmm.
You see the Reniers and it's different. And then you said, as you said, okay, Joe, tell me, like, why does your family do the things they do? And in the book, Brick by Brick, there's seven different principles to raising a missionary family.
Mm-hmm.
You started telling the story, but how would you say that the Reniers family really lived the mission side of things? This goes to each one of you. Like, what's one story you have of how the Reniers really raised up a missionary family? And how did that help you in your own journey of being a missionary disciple? Whoever has the first story or answer, feel free to jump in.
I have like a very simple one that I actually touch on briefly in the book, but it was something at this time as simple as video games. And it, once again, originally when I came into the family, I was like, why are you playing video games? Like, that's not a holy use of your time. But then through my mission and conversion, I realized, and it was a conversation actually that Andre had with Joe, because Joe was like, at one point, he was considering maybe I shouldn't play video games. But then Andre explained to Joe, like, actually being able to play video games is really important for a guy your age, because all of your friends who don't know Jesus
are gaming.
And how are you going to be relatable to them if you aren't also playing them and, you know, up to date on the coolest, latest stuff? And so I remember being like really bought in, like, Joe, you really need to like play video games for the sake of being missionary, and like having these guys over to your house, and then like maybe, you know, it'll lead to conversations where you can start talking about Jesus and invite them to church because of video games. So that's like a very like simple example of like their view on something in the world that like
is very countercultural to, I think, what a lot of people are thinking is like, oh, video games,
waste of time,
stomp it out, like,
yeah,
don't go there. But mm-hmm. it actually, seen through a missionary lens, is like, yeah, maybe don't spend 8 hours a day on it, but mm-hmm. like it can be a tool to reach other people,
mm-hmm, to be relatable. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, something that comes to mind, and it's also very simple, but like being more closely around the family this past year and seeing, yeah, like how the older siblings kind of like encourage the younger girls, Natalie and Jana, or even how Andre and Angel do, like in their missionary heart, I can kind of see what it would have looked like for the older siblings to have that imparted on them. And it's like something as simple as like the language in which we talk about those who are lost, like those who don't know Jesus or know him well enough. And it's like really with a heart of longing for them to know Jesus. It's not like, oh yeah, my friend at school, like this happened and it really frustrated me, why did they do that? You know, like a simple response could be like, oh yeah, well, you know, their family doesn't go to church, so that's probably why. But, you know, that's not the tone. That's not the language. It's like, yeah, you know, they don't know Jesus. And when we don't know Jesus, like, this is why, really explaining those things and really modeling a heart for wanting those people to know Jesus. Mm-hmm. Thinking of, like, what are opportunities? Like, you know, you have youth group this Friday. Like, have you thought of inviting them this week? Like, it's very simple, but for me, it was, like, a mindset shift and things that I'm like, okay, writing it. I know like we're writing a book about it right now, but before all of this, like the first time that I came for Easter, I was like, yeah, Caleb and I weren't dating. And so I was like, I need to like write down everything that I'm learning about how to celebrate Easter, just because it is so rich. And yeah, that's like how I feel often when I'm like at the house and there's those teachable moments. It's quite simple, but yeah, a lot of it's still new to me too, to see how it's like to raise kids in that way. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would say for myself, like the intentionality behind everything, mm-hmm. is a big thing that I've seen, like how to create a family of missionary disciples is being intentional, right? It's something as simple as like video games, right? What's the intention behind it, right? Something as simple as like this conversation, the intentionality behind the conversation, like where do I want my child to be, right? So for myself, I would see that play out with Max, right? In the book, I actually say, I share a story about the family always goes on a trip to St. Joseph's Oratory, long weekend, September, and setting the tone, being intentional with my child at 3 years old. It starts super young. And I wanted to set the tone for Max and for him to fall in love with Jesus. So all day I knew St. Joseph's Oratory has the beautiful candle room, right? And I made sure that he was having a lot of fun, that I was engaging with him at his level to the point where I can be intentional now in the candle room. And this is because I've seen this play out over and over again with the children, like the Renier children, right? Seeing Andre and Angel like do this to the children. So I want to do it with Max. So we get to the candle room. And I speak at his level. I go right down on my knees and I'm speaking to him and I'm saying, Max, like, would you like to light a candle and say, Jesus, come into my heart? Something very simple, very tangible. And he's like, yes, Daddy, yes. So we pick whatever candle he wants and he lights it and he puts it in and he's whispering to himself, like, Jesus, come into my heart. And super cute. So I do the exact same thing like Alana was saying. Like, I affirm it. I affirm his decision. I affirm him choosing to do that. And then I ask him, like, did you feel anything? And he says, no, Daddy, not yet. Like, 5 minutes. Jesus will be in my heart in 5 minutes. And then Uncle Joe comes over, you know, 5, 10 minutes later, and he says, like, Max, like, you put Jesus in your heart. Like, do you feel anything? It's like, no, Uncle Joe, not yet. Like, 2 more minutes. Right? And over the course of the day, like, we finally get to McDonald's that evening, right? And we get to McDonald's, and I ask Max. I'm like, Max, like, you had a really good day. You know, you made an awesome decision. You put Jesus in your heart. Do you feel anything? He just had a burger, some fries. He's like, yeah, Dad. Jesus is in my heart. I'm like, no, Max, Jesus is in your belly.
Oh, they say the way to a man's heart is through your stomach.
So that would be it, though. Like, how do we raise missionary disciples is through intentionality of the family, right? Of conversations, of where I want my child to be. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you're going to see that play out over and over again in the book. Very tangible.
Yeah. So you're all three of you are at different stages mm-hmm. of your life. So Mark, you're married to Milan and you have 2 kids with 1 on the way, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. What are the ages and names of your children?
So 4 years old, Max, the one that you heard about Jesus in his belly. Audrey is 2. She's babbling and walking around and having a good time. And then 1 on the way due in June. So and it'll be a little boy. So
okay, awesome.
Boy, girl, boy. Yeah.
And Liz, you're mm-hmm. married into the family with Joe, mm-hmm. And you are due coming up very soon.
Yeah, so we're due for our first daughter on May 25th, and we've been married for almost 2 years.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. And then Alana, you are coming into the family this July.
Yeah, July 6th. Mm-hmm.
So you're all either raising a family, starting a family, in the family, getting started to raise a family, mm-hmm. having been connected to the Renier family now for several years now, for each one of you, what's one takeaway that you've seen Andre and Angèle do with their family in raising them as missionary disciples that you plan on or are integrating into your family right now? Like, what's one of the key takeaways that you're taking from them? It's, okay, I'm going to take this idea and I'm going to steal it. And then for our listeners, quickly, like, if you're not doing it already, like, how do you plan on implementing this into your own family?
Yeah, for me, it would be like we have a chapter on tradition. So one thing that we like to steal is the amount of traditions actually in the Renier house. Like, if you want reasons to celebrate, they got them. Like, let's celebrate St. Patrick's Day, Valentine's Day, Mark's birthday for the whole week, you know? So that's one thing that we really like, the how they celebrate and how they make tradition. So Easter would be a tangible one. We're in the Easter season. Holy Thursday with our children, we do something that we steal from the Reniers, you know, like Angèle used to with the kids. do a little kind of service at the kids' level. So she would bring out grape juice in a fun glass for the kids, and bread, and break the bread and read scripture and then wash the kids' feet. And we just did that Holy Thursday with Max mm-hmm. and with Audrey. And it's fun because then they start to say like Max actually held the page in the Bible, and the next morning he was like, okay, we're gonna read the story and like go through this, you know, what's the next part? So it creates that tradition at their level. So that's mm-hmm. one big takeaway that, yeah, we love to adapt to our family.
Cool.
I think one of my favorite things that we talk about in the book that I can't wait to implement in our own family is in the spiritual life chapter, we talk about obviously doing spiritual practices with your children. But the key thing that I love is making it relatable to a child's age and their needs at that time. And this is something that I saw actually in my own parents. But then when I came into the Renew family, I saw it, as Mark said, like lived with even like greater intentionality, where Andre and Angel, whenever they invited the children deeper into like Lent, for example, it was always like at their level, what they could handle for their age. And I just think that that is brilliant. And so I can't wait to do that in my own family.
Oh, I'm sitting here and I'm just thinking like all the things, yeah. Like even like
what do
everything.
I choose?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, even like going through the book, like reading like Angel's like tips for moms. Like it's just, yeah, as I'm reading it, I'm like, yes, like these are all the things that I want to like live out as a mother. And it's, I guess like it gives me a lot of hope, because I know I'm maybe not answering your question right away, but I think like before I think I was like coming in with like a lot of fear of like, yeah, what if I like have all intentions of raising a Catholic family, but like I don't know what that would look like. Like, how does this play out? Like, what does it look like on a daily basis? Like, I'm definitely going to screw it up, and then my kids won't know Jesus. And like, just like, you know, it's just going down the downward spiral of like, yeah, just desperation. So it's a lot of the things, like, as we've been discussing the book and writing it, like, I'm excited to implement like the daily things, like the little things that really make and raise up missionary disciples. And I guess one thing that I notice as we have written the book is that the experience that I have in being like a campus missionary is very similar to things that I see in the family of like just sharing Jesus clearly and simply. Like, I'm like, okay, yeah, I know how to do that. Like, I can share Jesus clearly and simply. Like, okay, that's a first step. And seeing how that plays out in the family from a young age, like Elizabeth is saying, like from when they're kids, like how do we adapt the message to them to meet them where they're at? Okay, yeah, I've learned how to do that. Like, that's an important step. And that's something that we're all called to do. And so even practicing it in regular life, like it's something that can be quite simple. Even if like you're listening and you're like, oh, I've never had the opportunity to do that before and that seems scary. But I find it's actually just much more simple than trying to teach like all of
the entire catechism.
The catechism, exactly. Yeah. It's just very simple. And I've seen the fruit of it in the lives of the kids and their personal relationship with Jesus. So I'm really excited to like impart that relationship, model that relationship, like, you know, it's mentioned in the book, the kids like watching Andre and Angel take their morning prayer time. Like, I'm like, yeah, like it's valuable to fight for those things, for our children to see that and to model it. So I'm excited for to like implement those simple things. But I think a chapter that stood out to me too is It Takes a Village. And partially because like, you know, it takes a village to raise a family. And I got to like be one of those people that are like a part of like the Renier village at first, like coming into the family, you know, around Easter, like being with Jana at Easter and talking about our prayer time and Jana, how did Jesus speak to you? And, you know, I was a part of the village that helped like, you know, inspire a missionary culture in their family. And so, yeah, I'm just excited to look for those opportunities to, bring people into like mine and Caleb's future family who will help really model the kind of missionary life that we want them to live, but also like that our family can model for them the great hope that they can have for their future family as well. And that's really what I experienced in coming into the Renier family.
Cool. So we are running down on time, but you're all CCO missionaries. You've all been on staff for various lengths of time. For listeners, share with us where you've served, like what campuses you've been on, and if you've been on any international missions, where have you gone?
So I've been on staff for 2 years at Carleton University, and I was on mission in Mexico as a student, not as a staff. But
okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm just finishing my 5th year with CCO. So when I started, I was a campus missionary in Ottawa, at the University of Ottawa. So that's really where I got to know like Joe and Caleb a lot more and got to know the family living here. After that, I was in Saskatchewan at the University of Saskatchewan for 1 year as a campus missionary. And then just this past year, as Caleb and I have been engaged, I've lived in Ottawa working in our ministry training department. So I was training our new missionaries through their first year on staff. And this next year, after we get married, Caleb and I will move to Calgary. And yeah, we will be campus missionaries there at Mount Royal University. That might be spoiler alert for some people who don't know yet. That's where I'm like, yeah. So, hey.
So retroactively plug ears and go.
Yeah. Sorry if I haven't told you personally yet.
And yourself, Mark?
This is my first year with CCO, and my family and I, we lived in Ottawa for, I guess, well, Milan a little bit longer, but for 6 years. And now we're serving out in Halifax at Dalhousie University. And I've been on a mission to Poland for World Youth Day with CCO. And I'm actually going to be going to New York in about a week to serve in New York for a couple weeks. So on mission. So.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Well, it's been an absolute pleasure to have.
Oh, I have mission stars too. Yeah. I have my little mission badges. Yeah, I got to go to World Youth Day Poland with the Reniers when we brought all of the URs. That was such an exciting mission. And like, that's also a place where I caught a missionary heart from them even more deeply. Yeah. And then as a student, I went to World Youth Day, and I also served on mission as a staff in Ireland and then in Honduras last summer.
Thanks for joining us today for our conversation on Brick by Brick, How to Raise a Missionary Disciple Family. This is the third and final of our three-part series on this book. If you have any questions, comments, queries, quandaries, conundrums, or otherwise, please email us at podcast@cco.ca. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe and share us with your friends. Once again, I'm your host, Gerhard, and you're listening to the Missionary Disciple Podcast by Catholic Christian Outreach. Until next time, God bless.